Sweet, sweet sister friend, I am so excited about season 2 of the Laced with Grace Fully Embraced podcast. I'm so excited to dive deeper into our relationship with Christ together, deeper into our love of our bodies and being grateful for the temple that God has given us to care for, to nourish, to exercise, to work out, for worship, and not just weight loss, and to really, really focus and make Him the center and the foundation, the motivation of our fitness journey. Because I truly believe if we make Him the foundation of our fitness journey, it becomes much more doable. It becomes less overwhelming. It becomes much more fulfilling. And I'm excited to grow in this with you. Let's get it. Let's go. Hey friend, I have missed you. I'm so glad to be back for another week of Life with Grace Fully Embraced podcast. Today I'm actually going to be answering a question that was brought up to me probably almost a year ago now, and I've been waiting for the right time to kind of like talk about this question and answer this question and kind of just discuss it with you, because it's like fumbled around in my heart and in my head for a while. And I want to preface this episode with saying, you know, like, I am no Bible expert. I am no pastor. I did not go to school for Bible and ministry. I just have a big passion and feeling in my heart and in my lungs to make sure that I share the gospel with you, and to share God's love with you, and to share His mercy, and to share His grace, and to share His power, and to share that He can be, you know, our cornerstone. He can be our strength. He can be our rock. And I just want to always make sure that we are caring for our temple and viewing our temple as that, as a gift and as a temple and as something that God has gifted us, instead of like this fleshly, you know, body, and just always looking at appearance and always looking at results. And I just have a big passion for all of that. So if I am incorrect in anything I share biblically, please give me some grace. Okay. I'm just sharing based on my knowledge of having a relationship with Jesus for most of my life, and just some of the things that I've learned from some of my mentors, some of my pastors, people that I have absolutely loved. And just, this is just more of just a discussion today, just to like get my thoughts out on this, see what your thoughts are. If you have any thoughts on this and you want to message me about this later, once I tell you the question, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I am currently reading a book by Amber Dobeka. Hang on. Amber Dobeka. I always mess up her. Yes, Dobeka. Amber Dobeka. It's called Fit Forever. This is not actually published yet. She actually sent this to me. She connected with me on Instagram and she's like, hey, can you read my book? It's going to be out in May. Barnes and Noble, you know, all the major retail stores and stuff like that. But she gave this book to me for me to read. And this may be a really, really great resource for you. You can actually pre-order it or get it on the waiting list at www.amberdobeka.com, I believe. And I want you to be able to get on the waiting list. Let me double check that that's the right website, because I really want you to be able to get this eventually, because so far reading it, I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah, it's www.amberdobeka.com, and it will be in all retailers, major retailers, in May. So she's going to have this published, but I'm reading it right now, and it is so, it's so aligned with, like, I'm like, is this me? Is this, like, this gal must be a replica. Like, we have some of the same thoughts and the same passions and the same desires of helping women really know their worth in Christ and really be able to look at their bodies as a gift and a temple, and using discipline in a spirit-led way, even in our fitness journey. So check that out for sure. But this question was brought up to me, and this may actually talk about this in the book eventually, and I'm really excited to read about this. And if she doesn't cover this, I think she'll be close to it, because based on what I've read so far, it's like, oh, she's going to hit some good points. But the question was, and I got this a while ago, mind you, is God mad at me? Is He upset with me if I'm not consistent and obedient in my fitness? And I think a lot of us, especially as like if we're newer Christians, and I know for a period of time in my relationship with Jesus, and my pastor brought this up this weekend, which I thought was hilarious, because this was me. Like, when I was younger, going to church camp, going to Bible studies, going to small group, going to youth group, I, for whatever reason, had this fear that the prayer of salvation, like, once I prayed it once, like, that wasn't good enough. Like, I needed to keep re-saying it. And he talked about how he did the same exact thing. It's like he had this fear of, like, he wasn't going to be good enough. And, like, the prayer that he already said wasn't going to save him. Like, he needed to say it again and again and again and again and again. And the prayer of salvation, if you've never heard of that before, if you're newer to this podcast or newer Christian or don't even really know God, basically it's just this prayer that's asking the Lord into your life and into your heart, and that you know that he died for your sins, and that you know that, you know, you've messed up and that you need a savior and you need someone to save you in order, you know, for you to get to heaven. And the thing I want to bring up about this is it's never, and this is kind of off topic, but this prayer, like, there's no special words. There's no specific prayer that gets you into heaven. Like, it's the condition of your heart. The pastor also talked about how he shared an example of this man that went to the altar. I don't know if it was our church or a different church, but he went to the altar and all he could muster out was, when he went to the altar at the end of service to give his life to Christ, was sorry. And then he just wept and wept and wept. There was no special words. There was no special thing that he had to say, no special phrase, no. We need to remember that, like, it is not about what we look like. It's not about what we say. It's not about the perfection. It's not about this perfect standard and aesthetic that we have in our minds of, like, what a Christian is supposed to look like. Girl, it's about the condition of your heart. How are you presenting yourself to the Lord? Is the condition of your heart humble? Is the condition of your heart sorry? Is the condition of your heart saying, Lord, I need you? I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I've messed up. I know that I've not been where you want me to be, Lord, but can you save me from this? Like, can you forgive me? Like, please forgive me, Lord. Like, it's a condition of your heart. It is not a perfect phrase. It's not a perfect, and I honestly think that we can utilize that in our fitness a lot too. And I'll go into that later if we have time. But again, the question was, is God disappointed with me or is he mad at me if I am not obedient or I'm not consistent in my fitness journey or I'm not disciplined in my fitness journey? It was something along those lines. Is God upset with me? And here's the thing, says, I feel like, again, as younger Christians, or maybe someone who doesn't know God very well, or maybe you go through phases or like seasons of this, we have like this interpretation or this thought of God being like this person with like his finger down at us. Like, you need to do this. You need to do that. You have to follow this. You have to abide these laws. You have to be obedient in this. You have to do this, or I'm just angry. He's not throwing a temper tantrum at us. Like, he's not sitting up there and every time you mess up, just throwing himself on the ground. Absolutely absurd. Like, you know what happens? You know what I think what happens? His heart breaks. He's not sitting up there mad at you. He's not up there. He's not mad at you when you start binging on food, when you start looking at your body and just being disgusted in the mirror, start talking negatively about yourself, when you don't show up for your workouts and stop taking care of your temple, and you become super sedentary and you start gaining a bunch of weight, or you're medically or physically, like, you start just not being healthy, not being well to your body, not caring for it. He doesn't sit up there pissed off and like just throwing his, and maybe I shouldn't say that word when I'm talking about God, but it's just me. Okay. I'm just being myself and being real, but he's not sitting up there with his finger down at you saying, you are terrible. You did not follow this. You're disobedient. You're not disciplined. You can't be consistent. Like, he's not condemning you. John 3:17 says, for our God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world. What does that say to you? He did not come to condemn us, y'all. He did not come to get you, like to point his finger down at you and say, I'm gonna get her. I'm gonna get her now because she didn't follow instructions. She didn't follow the rules. She didn't abide. She didn't fuel her temple well. She didn't follow her workout plan. She, you know, spouted off at her kids again. She spouted off at her husband. She made this sin, did this, did that. He's not sitting up there with his finger pointed down at you and saying, I'm gonna get her. I'm gonna get her. He is putting his hand out as like a, come here, I want to get you. I'm going to rescue you. He's not out to get you. He's not out to put his wrath down on you. He don't want to put his wrath down on you. We talked about this in our Easter service. He doesn't want to put his wrath down on you, but he wants to show you his rescue. He doesn't want to show you his wrath. He wants to show you his rescue. So he's not sitting up there ticked off at you, sis. He's not sitting up there disappointed and angry and mad at you. In my opinion, in my thoughts, and who I know my God is, he's up there heartbroken that you don't realize how beautiful you are. He's up there heartbroken at realize and struggling with the fact that you don't realize what strength and power you have in him. He's up there heartbroken that you think so poorly of yourself when he just loves you. And I also read a quote today, and this goes really, really well with what we're talking about. I read a quote today that talks about, you know, God's love is not, it's not something that we can't even comprehend, because it's not like human love. It's not like it's based on the condition of behavior or what we do right or what we do wrong. God's love is eternal. It's everlasting. It's forever. It's not conditioned on who, it's not conditioned on what we do, how we do it, who we are. It's conditioned on who he is, which he is perfect. His love is perfect. It's everlasting. So is he disappointed and is he mad at you when you don't show up for your workouts, when you don't show up and follow your nutrition plan and fuel your body well, when you treat your body poorly, when you look at yourself and you think, I'm disgusting, I'm so fat, I'm so ugly. You say all these nasty, negative, hurtful, harmful things to yourself. When these thoughts are in your head all the time, when you're struggling with not being negative, when you're struggling with discipline, when you're struggling with consistency, does he look at you and is he mad? No. He's heartbroken. Because you have not realized that his grace is sufficient for you and his power is perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, his power is perfect in your weakness. His grace is sufficient for you. You have not realized that yet, so he is heartbroken. He is heartbroken because you don't realize the power that you could be tapping into. He is heartbroken because he loves you so, 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 so much. And he wants the very best for you. A lot of times people think that God's wrath is like coming down on us because he just is angry with us and he's throwing a temper tantrum and he just wants to punish us. He just wants to discipline us. That is not my God. My God, if he's angry because he loves us so freaking much. And he knows what's best for us. He wants what's best for us. And he just wants you to come to him. And also the Bible says, if you come, he will always say yes. I personally know this in my own testimony. I was someone, and I have been someone, and I still struggle with this, that I rely on my own goodness, thinking that my own goodness is what saves me. My own goodness is what makes me a good person. My own goodness makes me, you know, not capable of making a certain sin or sinning in a certain way. That's a bunch of BS. If you have that mindset right now, like if you've even thought those things, I need you to give that to the Lord right now. Because y'all, he's the only thing that's good in us. And we are capable of every single sin that anyone else is capable of doing. Because we are made in the flesh. You may not agree with that. You may say, well, I'm a good person. Like, I wouldn't do those. Don't ever declare those things. Don't ever declare, well, I would never do that. I would never do that. That's a sin I would never commit. The moment you say that is the moment the devil's going to start working on it. And maybe y'all don't agree with that either, but I'm telling you, based on my own testimony, my own struggles, my own thoughts, my own pain, my own suffering, my own sin, I'm telling you, I walked the straight and narrow for as long as I could tell you. And I thought, man, and I started to get prideful on that. I started to get so prideful. But you know what? I finally met the grace of God. I knew what the grace of God was when I had messed up beyond reason and made sin that I never thought I was capable of, because I became prideful. It was about my goodness, not Jesus's. I tried to do it in my own strength, in my own power, in my own discipline, in my own motivation. Sis, the moment you start tapping into what only solely your own power, your own discipline, your own motivation in your fitness, in your health journey, is the moment you're also going to get discouraged, defeated. You're going to fall short. You're going to miss the mark. You're going to be exhausted. You can't do this on your own. We are not built to do it all on our own. We are supposed to be tapping into the full force of Jesus. We are supposed to be tapping into His power and His grace and His mercy and His love and His strength and His discipline. He created us that way for a reason, because we are not capable of doing it on our own. He wants us to want Him. He wants us to realize that we need Him in order to succeed long term. Yeah, you can do it for a while on your own. I did that. You can do it for a long while on your own, but it depletes. It does not stay with you. It will deplete. Concerning God's power, I want to share another story that actually, this was a gal. I was in my small group a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was just last week. I was in my mom's small group. We meet every Friday, and I was at church. And this gal walked in and she wanted to share something with us. And this, mind you, this is a real story. And I thought about sharing this on social, and I may be like majorly mocked for this, but I may still do it. Actually I probably should just for that reason. So she walks in and she says, "Hey, can I share something with y'all this morning? I think this will be really powerful for you." And she starts talking about how this grandma in her small group, their daughter just had a child, and they were born with esophagus issues. They were born with no anus. They were born with no genitalia. They were having lung problems, and things were just not, his heart was messed up. Like, things were just not right. And so this baby was born at 30 weeks, and there was life in it. It was able to be saved in some way, shape, or form. Like, they didn't know how, but it came out alive. Okay. So they took it to surgery right away. Every 3 hours, the surgeons came and updated the family on these surgeries. There's multiple surgeries that needed to occur. They came back every 3 hours to let them know, okay, this is okay now. The anus is okay now. Okay, this is okay now. The genitalia is okay now. Okay, this is okay now. The heart is okay now. Okay, this is okay now. The lungs are okay now. The cleft lip, club foot. I'm a nurse and I'm not saying this correctly. Anyways, club foot. That is okay. That is all right. So every 3 hours they updated the family. At the end, they got to see their child, and they were like, okay, so, you know, the dad is looking for the scars. He's looking for like different openings for the surgical incisions and stuff, and wanted to know, you know, how, quote unquote, and this may sound graphic, but how butchered is my child? Like, what do they look like? And so he goes in and he starts looking, and he can't find the incisions. He's perplexed. He's confused. And he looks at the doctor and he's like, well, what surgeries took place? Like, where are the incisions? And the doctor looked at him and he said, I'm getting chills just replaying this. Mind you, this is a real story. This is someone who really talked to me, who has this woman, their daughter, this woman is in their small group. Okay. They didn't just make this up. And the surgeon looked at him and he said, sir, there were no surgeries. We saw the hand of God work on this child. And I just, man, that's powerful. Like, the anus just appeared. The genitalia just appeared. The heart did what it was supposed to do and developed the way it was supposed to. The lungs did what it was supposed to do and developed how it was supposed to along the course of the day. And they didn't touch the child. It was God. That is the power that you are not tapping into. If you are struggling with discipline, if you are struggling with consistency, if you are struggling with viewing yourself as a gift, if you are struggling with viewing your body as beloved and cherished and loved and beautiful and a masterpiece, hand it together in God's image. If you are struggling with all these things, if you are struggling with your temptations and your food and your fitness, my friend, please listen to the power that you are not tapping into, that you are missing out on. Tap into God. Go to Him. It does not matter where you've been. We don't have to go there. If you've always struggled with nutrition, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to go there. If you've never stayed consistent in a fitness journey, if you've never stayed consistent in your workouts, sweet friend, you don't got to go back there. We don't got to go there. Ask God and you will receive. Knock and you will receive. The condition of your heart matters. So make sure you're not going to him in vain. Make sure you're not going to him saying, Lord, I want abs. Yeah, can he give you abs? I'm most certain definite he can give you abs. But don't go to him in vain. Ask him for his will. Ask him to do in your life what he knows is going to be best for you because he loves you so much. Ask him to help you. Ask him to guide you. Ask him to give you the strength, the energy, the motivation, the power, the discipline. Sister, friend, I'm sure you would much rather say the same prayer over and over and over again rather than allowing the enemy to be fulfilled and excited that you're just sitting in silence. Woo! Would you rather go to God over and over and over again with the same prayer than allowing the enemy and giving the enemy that happiness and that joy that you're just sitting in silence? Because if you're sitting in silence, he's definitely celebrating. Because you're not having the faith. You're not going to your God. Is God mad at you if you're not disciplined in your journey? Is God mad at you if you're not consistent? No, sister, he's heartbroken. Because there's a power there that you are not tapping into. I want to share, along with the lines of this baby story, I want to share, this may be a little bit dramatic, a little bit off the course of this podcast. But yesterday I was running, and those of you who follow me on social, you probably know that I've had 3 knee surgeries. This last one was last April. So about a year ago now, I've had three knee surgeries. 2 of them were in high school. I had my ACL reconstructed, the same one. I tore them in basketball, and I had a really hard time with the fact that, you know, I've always had problems with this freaking knee ever since I had those surgeries in high school. I didn't have a whole bunch of problems, and I didn't really have issues until this last year when I was training for a half marathon. All through college, I was good. It's never been the same as my other one, but I didn't really have problems, right? But last year I was training for a half marathon. I'm like, man, something ain't right. And then I kept training and kept pushing because I thought, you know, I'm just getting older. I've had surgery on this knee. It's probably just arthritis. It's just how it's going to be. Like, I just need to get through it. So I'm at the very end of training for this half marathon. And the day before, my husband met me in a parking lot to pick up my son because I told him, I said, I can't walk. Like, I'm scared to be driving right now because I really can't bend my knee without severe pain. I can't walk. I had just done the day before. I had done only a couple. I had done like 3 miles. But earlier in the week, like the last week, I had done like up to like 12 because I was at the end of my half marathon training. And it was so weird. Like, I did the 12 and I was all right. But then I did the 3 the day before. And it was like something really ain't right. And it was swollen. It was tender. And my husband met me, and he came and he came over to the door, and he knows how much running means to me. He knows that this is my time. This was my time with the Lord. This was my time of prayer. This was my time, this endorphin rush, this high that I got, this strength, this motivation, this energy, this confidence that I haven't really ever felt before. Even when I was a runner in college, it's like God utilized my running after post-baby. When I got back into running after having my second child, he kind of used that. That was like our special time. I don't really know how to describe it besides that, but there's a confidence that came from that like no other that I've experienced before. And so while I run, like, it's just like, it's like, oh my gosh, I feel you. Oh my gosh, I feel you. Oh my gosh, you speak to me. Like, my eyes and my ears and my heart and my head are so freaking clear and so able to hear his voice. It became an addiction, like a good one, but it became something that was like, I need this. So my husband met me in that parking lot. And I couldn't walk. He went to touch my knee, and I just started bursting out into tears because it was painful. And I was so mad because I knew in my heart, I'm not going to be able to run. He looked at me and he said, you're not running 13 miles tomorrow, Kels. Like, you're not. You can't. And I just looked at him. I said, yes, I am. I'm going to do it, like, stupidly, like being my stubborn self, you know. And so I go the next day, I go to pick up my packet. Mind you, I want you to put this visual in your head. I'm pushing a stroller. My grandma's beside me because we were meeting her for lunch. She just met me at Notre Dame area to go pick up the packet. It was called the Holy Half Marathon. So when she met me at Notre Dame, I went to go pick up the packet. We had to go through the campus up into this building, multiple units, multiple floors. And I'm pushing this stroller and I'm barely able to walk. I am limping. And my grandma's just looking at me with almost tears in her eyes. And she's like, Kelsey, you can't run this race tomorrow. And in my head, I'm thinking, I'm so mad because I'm thinking, Lord, like, I trained for this. I'm ready for this. What? Why? Why now? Like, this is the first half marathon I've ran since college. And I ran other races since I've been post-baby. But, like, I've trained freaking hard for this. I've trained for 3 months for this. 4 months for this. Why? And I never really got an answer, to be honest with you. I never really got an answer. But I didn't run that next day. Then I found out that my meniscus was completely shattered and torn and just a complete mess, more so than, you know, than it was when I had my previous knee surgeries. It was kind of tore up beforehand. It wasn't the best off, but it was completely shattered and torn in multiple areas, and they had to do a bilateral meniscectomy. So they took it out. Basically, I don't have a whole lot of meniscus left. And on my run yesterday, I'm getting to the point here, but on my run yesterday, I just kept feeling this overwhelming, and I was told I would never be able to do long distance again. Like, I'm not able to. I'm not going to be able to do it without pain. I'm going to end up having a total knee replacement before I'm 50, and I'm just basically, my knee's trashed. Like, I can't do anything about it. And I've been trying to run here and there ever so often, not really against medical advice, because I went and saw another surgeon, and he said, I understand what you need concerning emotional and mental health and your spiritual health. And he said, this is important to me. And he said, I'd much rather do a total knee replacement on someone like this than someone who's not going to do a darn thing with themselves after the knee replacement, and they're going to end up, you know, gaining a bunch of weight or not taking care of their body. He said, that's not going to be you. It's not going to be you. He said, I can tell you that right now. I'd much rather do that on you than someone else who's not taking care of themselves. So he told me, you know, if you need to go out and run a couple miles, go and do that for your mental and emotional and spiritual health. That's fine. So I took his advice, right? Because obviously I was thrilled. And so on my run yesterday, I had this overwhelming feeling of in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus. And it just kept over and over and over in my head. And I thought, in Jesus' name, he has freaking power to heal this knee. He has the power to give me the strength and the ability to run again. And I ran 3.5 miles yesterday without pain. I've been icing after my runs. Like, I'm being smart about it too. Like, I'm not just going out and running 10 miles a day or being dumb and running 6 or running 5. Like, I'm knowing my limitations. Okay. I can't run really more than 3.5 to 4. That's like my max right now. I just can't. And I used to be able to go out and run 10 and I'd be cool. I'd be fine, but I can't do that now. But I just, that baby story. And then that yesterday, y'all, we have a power. What I'm trying to say is we have a power that we are not tapping into. And if we would just have the faith, if we would just realize who our God is, if we would just realize how much he loves us, and maybe he won't heal my knee, but there will be a reason, and it will be because he loves me, and that reason will be because he loves me, and there's another reason that he has for me there. But that doesn't mean I just give up and I just don't have the faith now if he hasn't given me that answer yet. I have complete, after hearing that story the other day, I have complete faith that he could, if it's supposed to happen, if it's in his will, he will heal my knee and I will be able to race again. I will be able to consistently run. Not anything crazy, probably not a half marathon again, probably not even a 10K, but 5Ks, I believe he will make that available to me. I believe that it will be a healthy thing for me to be able to do. I will not have pain and he will heal. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What if you went into your workout every single day and in Jesus' name, I will stay consistent. In Jesus' name, I will be obedient. In Jesus' name, I will fuel my body. In Jesus' name, I will love my body and I will look at it as a gift and I will look at it as a temple and I will look at it through his lens and not my own. In Jesus' name, I have this power because of Jesus. I have this discipline because of Jesus. Can you go into your workout like that today? Can you go into every meal like that today? Can you go into every snack like that today? Y'all, he's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. Sin separates us from God. Sin is the problem, but Jesus is the answer. Again, John 3:17, for God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save it. He came for a rescue. He came for a rescue, not to get you, not to point his finger down at you, not to yell at you, not to condemn you. He doesn't want to give his wrath. He wants to give you his love. He wants to give you his mercy. He wants to give you his grace. Are you willing to accept it? Is your heart ready for it? Are you going to allow it? Because I guarantee you he has more power than what you're going to allow. But I'm just saying, like, your heart's condition matters. The condition of your heart matters. Stop working in your own strength. Stop working in your own. Being self-sufficient is only going to last for so long. You're going to get tired. You're going to get exhausted. You're going to feel defeated and discouraged eventually. You may be saying right now, well, yeah, I'm doing fine right now. Of course you are. You haven't hit the point yet, though. You haven't hit the wall yet, though. You haven't hit the point of depletion. You haven't hit the point of empty. Wait till you hit that. Then you'll realize, oh my gosh. If this spoke to you today, if this is something that you needed today, please share it with a friend. Please share it on your stories. Please tag me. Share with me what you learned. Message me. Give me your thoughts on this. Like what your thoughts are on, you know, scripture and is God disciplined? Or is God upset with us if we're not disciplined? Is he angry with us? And if he's angry with us, do you believe it's out of love? I believe it's out of love. I believe it's out of heartbreak, not because he's trying to condemn me, not because he's trying to get me, not because he's trying to point his finger at me, not because he's trying to discipline me, not because he's trying to hurt me, not because he's trying to be after me and attack me. That's not my God. I wonder what your thoughts are on this. I would love to hear from you. But sister friend, you know how it goes. It's another week. We have another month of the Gracelit groups. The April Gracelit group just started this week. We're in prep week right now. If you're in there, I'm super excited to have you. We're super blessed to have you. We would love to continue getting more members in there. I'll actually link my Lace with Grace Fully Embrace ministry community right here in the show notes so you have that available to you so you can access the April Gracelit group. If you're wanting some accountability in your Bible time, if you're wanting accountability in your water intake, if you're wanting accountability in your nutrition, if you're wanting accountability in your workouts, please, 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 please. Join this community. We would love to have you. It's completely free. All you have to do is register, and that's all you got to do. And then you can join, go to the group, and you will see where you can join the April Gracelit group. Okay. And mind you, you do not have to be doing the 60-day Gracelit challenge to be in my monthly Gracelit groups. Okay. I know there's some confusion there that continues to be, but you do not have to be doing the 60-day Gracelit challenge. You can be, you definitely can be, and I encourage you to, but you don't have to be doing the 60-day Gracelit challenge to be in my Gracelit groups. Okay. You can be doing your own thing. You can be just starting out. You can be someone who's worked out for years and years and years, and you have your own thing. The 60-day Gracelit challenge, or Gracelit life challenge, is just that it's a challenge. It's to help you get more disciplined. It's to help you develop better habits. It's to help you learn to care for your body as a temple and not just a body, not just flesh, but a gift that the Lord has given us to house the Holy Spirit. Okay. It's to work on our habits, to instill a better mindset, to realize we have a new day in Jesus, because you have to start over sometimes on the Gracelit Life Challenge if you don't hit all the tasks accordingly. But it's to remind us that we have a new day in Jesus. We have a new beginning. We have a new start. So anyways, I won't keep rambling about that. I hope this touched you today. I love you so much. Sister, let's get it. Let's go.